Open, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Looking at Colossians 3:20 this evening. As has been said, we've been looking at the family. We started with the relationship between husband and wife, and now we're moving to the relationship between children and parents. And it's interesting to note that in this ordering of the household, Paul begins with the marriage relationship first. He gives it first priority because it is of the first place and of first importance. If the marriage relationship is not intact, if it is not running well or smoothly, it's hard to begin to focus on the children and hope that their lives are going to run smoothly and well. And so Paul begins with the first importance of the marriage relationship and then moves on to the children. And that's what he addresses next in his list. And so verse 20, he gives the command of God, as this is his inspired word, an apostle divinely inspired by the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this evening's word. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless your word as it is read, as it is preached, as it's sung. We pray that you would use it, Lord, to make us more like Jesus. Help us to be, all of us, obedient children to our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the relationship you have granted to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, adopting us as your children. And Father, help us, Lord, to see this obedience worked out in our own homes. Lord, we pray for your Spirit's work in our children's lives, that you would conform them more to the image of their Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When Paul begins, children, obey your parents. What do you think of ordinarily when you hear the word children? Typically, you think of little kids running around, perhaps Luke's age, Joshua and James' age, children, little kids. But it's interesting to me that this word in Scripture, children, the word Paul chooses to use here, is used to describe basically any offspring coming from parents of any age. It's not restricted specifically or strictly to young children. There's another word for that. But this word children is used to describe those of all age who are descendants from their parents. And so this raises the question, to whom is Paul speaking here? Is he just talking to little kids? Is he talking to grown adults who just happen to be, well, have to be children of their parents? To whom is Paul speaking? Well, I think at the very least we can say, given that Paul is writing in the context of the home, that he has in mind here all of those offspring, I can't think of a better word at this point, all of those sons or daughters living within the context of the home, no matter the age. It doesn't matter how old, how young, all of those sons or daughters living in the home under the authority of the household, this is to whom Paul is speaking. And I think this would include those who have gone off to college but still find their residence in the home. These are the children to whom Paul is speaking. And the reason I bring this up is because it seems to me that our culture has taken the liberty to define what a child is and what an adult is. We think that an adult is one who turns 18. And so if a child's growing up, immediately they become an adult when they have their 18th birthday, because that's what society, that's what the state in some cases has deemed to be adulthood. And so do we allow what the culture around us says to define what Scripture teaches? Well, we need to be careful with that. Because as I said, this word is used in Scripture to refer to people of all ages descending from their parents. And so I think we can say safely with the Scriptures that this refers to all sons or daughters living within the home. And I can also think I can make a strong biblical case. I won't try to do that this evening, that this refers to grown individuals who perhaps are still living in the home or maybe even outside of the home. We see in the scriptures that the daughter is under the authority of her father. And that authority, I do not think, ends until that authority is transferred to the husband at marriage. And so I think a case can be made that the daughter is under the authority, must obey her father until that authority structure is shifted to her husband. I think a case can be also made for a young man living in the home as he grows. The scripture gives us the institution of marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I think perhaps implicit in that institution, there's this idea of the man remaining in the authority, under the authority of the home, under his parents, until he leaves his father and mother and holds fast to his wife. There may be something implicit in that command regarding this issue of authority over children. But I don't want to press that too hard. I want to say, just at the very least, that I think children refers to those sons or daughters who are living in the home. Like I said, extending to those who are at college, still finding their home at home, if you will. And so that's a quick word about to whom Paul is writing or addressing this command. But he tells children, obey. Obey your parents. So what does he mean by obedience? What does he mean to obey? Well, there's no great surprise here. I imagine what you're thinking in your minds that obedience means is what Paul means here. Behind the Greek, or behind the English word, the Greek word means to listen with humble submission. And this should be no surprise to you. I imagine whenever your a child is disobeying, you want to talk to them and you say, "Why are you not listening to me?" You don't typically say, "Why are you not obeying me?" or "Why are you disobeying me?" You generally say, "Why aren't you listening to me?" That's because there you have that idea of commands going forth and them not being received in the mind or in the heart. And that's what this issue of obedience is that Paul lays before us, is commands going forth, being received, understood, heard, listened to, and being carried out. And that's what this word means, a humble listening to pay careful attention to the commands, reproofs, directions, and exhortations that are given. So this main verb has this idea of obedience, of listening, and this word in Greek has a prefix to it that includes the idea of respect or of honor. And so we're not simply interested in just carrying out the commands of someone else, but you're doing it with respect and you're doing it with honor. That's what this word obey brings to mind, the word behind it, or behind this word obey. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. And when Paul says, "Children, obey your parents," then he goes on to quote the fifth commandment. And he says, "Honor your father and mother," because he recognizes that these two ideas are connected. Obedience and honor and respect, they are connected. And so we have children obeying, honoring their fathers and their mothers with their actions. And this obedience comes from a fear, a respectful fear, of their parents. They carry out their commands because their parents have authority over them from the scriptures. So that obedience flows from a healthy fear of their parents. The same word is used for the servant, for the slave, as we'll go on to see. Servants are to obey their masters. They serve out of a respect. But a child's obedience also flows from love. And this love is generated because of the relationship parents have with their children. So their obedience flows from healthy respect and flows from a love. And this leads William Gooch to say that obedience, he gives a definition, obedience is a humble and cheerful promptness in receiving and executing orders of another, and specifically with your parents. It's humbly receiving them. It has that idea of respect and honor, the listening. And it's a cheerful thing. This is the motivation of love, wanting to carry out the desires of your parents from love. It's a humble and cheerful promptness in receiving and carrying out those commands. So that's the idea of obedience that Paul is setting forth here to children. But the question could be asked, why is it that children are called to obey? Is this just Paul's idea? Is it his opinion that children should be obedient? Is this what culture teaches us, that children should obey their parents? Well, no. The first reason Paul gives for us, the first reason we have for obeying, is simply we are commanded to. And this is God's word. The children are commanded to obey their parents. And he goes on to give the reason, for this is pleasing to the Lord. It is well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord God finds pleasure in your obedience. You're commanded to obey the word of God, and the word of God commands you to obey your parents. This is pleasing to the Lord. And it's also pleasing to the Lord because just as the husband is the representative of Christ in the marriage relationship to the wife, he's been placed in that position and he's the image bearer of Christ in that relationship. So the parents are the image bearers of God in the parent-child relationship. They are as God to the children. You think of Moses being as God to the people of Israel, and Aaron was his prophet. Moses was filling a role as God and speaking forth his word. Parents fulfill the role of God in their authority in the home over the children. They lead their children. They guide their children. They exercise authority over them, leading them in what is right and what is good. And so to obey God's representatives is well-pleasing in his sight. And so you're commanded to obey. That's the first reason why you should obey. Now, the second reason you should obey is that it's naturally right. And you can see Paul hinting at this in the parallel passage of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents, for it is right. It's naturally right. Children, you did not create yourselves. Your parents brought you to life, as it were. You exist because of them. You came from them. They provide all of your needs. They provide your food. They provide your shelter. They provide your clothing, protection. They provide you with instruction in the Word of God, your education, everything you need. They provide for you, and you derive your existence from them. And so it's right that you obey them. You repay them with obedience. This is why we see the frustrated mom generally angered and frustrated with her disobedient child going into a litany of reasons why her child should obey. I carried you for 9 months and you were ungrateful. I nursed you night and day, you know, all the time, lost sleep. I feed you. I cook for you. I clean up your clothes, do your laundry. And this is how you repay me? It's an appeal to that natural sense of justice, that natural sense of it being right that you obey because you come from your parents and they take care of you. And so you obey because it is right. And so you're commanded to, it is right. And thirdly, you obey because it's for your own good. Now, this is something else Paul points out in that Ephesians passage. He says, you obey, and he quotes once again that the fifth commandment. He says, honor, this is chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So you obey your parents for your own good. And so your parents give you commands not to make your life miserable, not to limit your fun or to make things difficult for you. But they give you commands for your own good because they love you. They try to protect you. And in this, we see a mirror of God's law. And God's law is meant to be a hedge of protection, keeping you safe from evil, safe from destruction. And this is what God's words were to Adam and Eve in the garden. Do not eat from that tree. Why? In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. It will go well with them if they obey that command. And likewise, you children, if you obey your parents, it will go well with you. When our children are infants, we tell them, don't play with the light socket or don't play with the electrical outlet. Why? Because there's danger there if they do. We want to keep them safe. As they grow up, don't ride your bike in the street. Come home when the street lights come on. Don't talk to strangers. You obey these things because they are protection for you. It'll go well with you as they get older. You hear commandments you may not like from your parents. Perhaps you want to go to a school that you really desire to go to, and you hear the command of your parents, don't take out that massive loan for the school you want to go to. There's a protection here. They're trying to guard you. Because believe it or not, children, your parents have been around longer than you have. They've experienced more than you have. And I hate to break it to you, but they do know more than you do. It may not seem that way, but they do. They've been there. They know what life is like. And they know and have the wisdom from God and His Word. It will go well with you if you obey them. It's for your protection. And also, it's their job to lead you into godliness and holiness and according to the Word of God. They're desiring to make you and raise you up to be godly young men and women. And it is well with you if you submit to them and obey them, because you're submitting to the Word of God as they instruct you in it. And so it is good for you to obey your parents because you're commanded to. It's naturally right, and it is for your own good. This is why you should obey your parents. Well, the next thing I want to look at is, whom should you obey? And I've kind of been assuming this. Now, Paul says that you obey your parents. But notice that he says parents. It's a plural here. He's identifying both the father and the mother. He doesn't simply say, children, obey your father, or children, obey your mother. He says, children, obey your parents. And the reason he says this and what he's identifying is that your parents, as far as you are concerned, from your perspective, have an equal authority over you. And we've talked about before in prior sermons that there is a hierarchy in the home, that the husband is the head of the wife. But as far as children are concerned, the parents have equal authority over you. And so you must obey both equally. Now, why would I say that? Well, I say that because there is the tendency in most children, I think, I know there was in my life, that whenever I received a command from my dad or a no answer from my dad, something I didn't like to hear, I'd say, oh, okay, well, hey, Mom, what about this? What do you think of this? If I didn't get what I wanted from my dad, I immediately went to my mom and asked my mom for what I wanted, hoping to get a different answer. And that's not what Paul is saying you should do here. He's denying that that is a good thing to do. You obey your parents. They carry an equal and united authority. If one says no, they both say no. Do not try to pit your parents against one another. I don't mean to be very scary about this, but this is what Satan's trying to do. The devil desperately wants to divide your home and break it up. And the first thing, as I said, as I began this sermon, the most important relationship is the home, in the home is the husband-wife relationship. And that is what he will strike first. And whatever he can do to divide the marriage, he will do. And so don't allow yourself to be tempted to sin and divide your parents. Don't allow yourself to be used in that way, but treat one as both. One gives a command, that's it. Don't seek another decision from another parent. So whom you should obey, both parents equally. And just a word, as we talked about before, there's a hierarchy in the home. There could be a sticky situation in which you get two different answers based on what we have talked about before. It would be good for there to be discussion in the home, but if there cannot be agreement between the two, I believe there's warrant from the Word of God to yield to the Father as He is the head of the household. But do so humbly and patiently and respectfully to both parents. And so we've looked at what is obedience, why you should obey, whom you should obey. And now I'd like to look at what you should obey. Now, Paul says, children, obey your parents. In Ephesians 6:1, he says, in the Lord. And so you are to obey those things that God commands. And so your parents teach you the Word of God. They teach you the Ten Commandments and how to live according to the Word of God. And so you are to obey. You are to submit yourselves to those commands. This should be evident to us. God commands it. You do it. They teach it to you. You carry it out. And so you carry out those things in the Lord, the things that God commands. But we must not restrict ourselves to those things. Because Paul says here in Colossians that you must obey in all things. You must obey in everything, even those things that go beyond the Word of God, not contrary to the Word of God. Note, I'm not saying that, but the things that go beyond the Word of God, that have a broader purview than the Word of God. And so your parents tell you to pick up your socks off the floor. I don't want you to wear this type of clothing to school or out in public. These kinds of things, obey your parents in them. Feed the dog, walk the dog, those kinds of things. You are to obey in these things. You must obey in everything. And I'd like to mention a word to the parents here that because of the position you are in, because of the role that you play in the home, that you bear the image of God, the authority in the home, and that they must obey by the command of God everything, you have the power to bind your child's conscience. And you must understand that. You have the power to bind your child's conscience with your commands. And so what you command them, so long as it's not contrary to the Word of God, they must obey. And if they don't do so, it is sin. And so think carefully about the number of commands you give them. And we'll talk about this next time, about fathers exasperating their children. But think carefully about the numbers of commands you give them, because they must obey them. Think of the difficulty of the commands you give them, because they must obey them. So take that into consideration, that you bind the consciences of your children. They must obey. And children, you must obey in everything. And so, and that even means things that you don't think are particularly helpful. They may be unwise. You must obey. Perhaps your parents don't want you to wear blue jeans for some reason. They don't want you to go out in public with blue jeans. You may think it's silly, but you must obey. And if you get to the point where you think you can maybe talk to them about this, you're not forbidden from speaking to them, for asking them why you want them to have this particular command, but you must do so with reverence. You must do so with respect, asking them what benefit there is in this, not resisting them, not revolting or rebelling against them, but try to understand. Perhaps you can come to a different conclusion, but in the final analysis, in the end of the day, you must submit, no matter how silly it may seem, no matter how foolish it may seem. You must obey in everything. But I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, you must not obey those things that are contrary to the Word of God. Just like with the wife submitting to her husband, if you were ever commanded, children, to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God, or if you're ever forbidden to do something that God commands you to do, you must disobey. You must honor God rather than man. But even so, you do so in a very respectful manner. You say, Mom, Dad, I'm bound by the Word of God. I have a higher authority than you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I must submit to Him over you. It pains me to do so because you are my parent. I love you. And it is right for me to obey you, but it is more right for me to obey my Lord, who has purchased me and has granted me salvation. And He teaches me that I must not do this thing. And so please, I beg you, reconsider, but I cannot obey. And you must be willing to experience the consequences for that disobedience. They will come. Peter says that we will suffer for righteousness, but suffer for righteousness. Don't suffer for disobedience. But you must not obey those things that are contrary to God's law. And once again, I want to have a word to the parents here about commanding children to do things that are contrary to God's law, whether by word, command, or example. You see, it is your job, it is your responsibility to lead your children into the truths of God's word. Where will they learn what God's word teaches if not from you? And so they are, by and large, ignorant as they're growing up of what God's word requires. So they don't know whether they are living contrary to God's word. They don't know whether they are transgressing the law. And so it is up to you to protect them and lead them into truth. And so there is great condemnation for those who lead their children into error. We read in Matthew 18, verse 6, that those who lead any one of these little children astray, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around that one's neck and cast into the sea. You need to be careful, and you need to know the word well, and so you can instruct them in the way that they should go. and that they would not walk in a way that's contrary to God's law, either by following your words or example. And so that's in what you should obey. And now some ways in which you can obey. And I'm including in this, I'm thinking in this, ways in which you can honor your parents as well. The first is that you obey immediately. You do not wait to fulfill your parents' commands or requests. Your parents ask you to do something, you do so immediately. You do not wait. You do not wait for them to ask you again. They should not have to ask you again. Because if they do, you are trying to exercise your best interest in that situation. You're thinking, well, I can exercise a little bit of control by making my parent wait for me. You're elevating yourself over them. And this is not obedience. And this is not honor. You must obey immediately. Remember, they have your best interest in mind. The story is told of a family that went camping. They went off into the woods and the children were playing soccer out in a field. And the ball was kicked close to the edge of the woods near where the tents were. And the father was coming out of the tent and he saw a rattlesnake on the ground and his child was running past it to get the ball. And the father yelled out, "Stop!" Can you imagine what would happen if that child did not stop and would run right past that snake who was already spooked and frightened by that soccer ball? And the child stopped immediately and it went well with him. And the father had a rifle with him and he dealt with the snake. He took care of it. The child was preserved, but there was an immediate obedience on behalf of the child. And this needs to be built into the framework of our children's minds. And so parents, whenever you're expecting obedience from your children, you need to expect immediate obedience. And children, render immediate obedience. It will go well with you. You need to see that God's word requires you to do this. Also, your disposition as well ought to be one of obedience and honor. It's not enough simply to carry out the action, but you need to do it in a way that is, as Gooch said, in a cheerful way. You don't hear the command of your parents and then go, okay, and go and carry it out. Or you don't roll your eyes at your parents. But instead of doing those things, I suggest that you respond to them honorably and respectfully. And you say, "Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad." And you go off and you do it. That is a sign of your respect. That is a sign of your cheerful obedience to them. You want to show them with your actions and with your disposition that you are obeying them and that you are loving them in return for what they have done for you. And you also want to obey and honor with your speech, the way you speak to and about your parents. It's a very frustrating thing. I see sometimes some children, I'm not mentioning anybody here in particular, but you know, being in the store, hearing the way in which children respond to their parents, the way they'll yell at them or the way they'll talk to them so disrespectfully. This is not consistent with Paul's command here to obey and respect and honor your father and mother. Your speech must always be in a respectful way toward your parents. And also, whenever your parents are speaking, you wait until they're finished. You honor their authority over you and wait until they're finished. And you also speak about your parents well to your friends. I think the biggest thing I complained about in my life growing up was my parents because of the things they didn't want me to do with my friends. And so I said, "Man, can you believe what my mom and dad won't let me do? Or they don't want me to do this because they're this way or that." Always belittling my parents and their authority over me, encouraging friends in their disobedience to their own parents. And this is a great sin in the eyes of God. This is one of the sins that Paul says characterize the last days. Disobedience to parents is one of the sins in the lists of sins that he gives us. And disrespect to parents. And so speak well of your parents. Honor them with your lips. And one way you can obey and honor is by earnestly praying for your own obedience. Have you ever thought about doing that, children? I know we do that as Christians. We desire to live godly lives. We desire to live holy lives to our Father in heaven. But have you ever thought about praying for an obedient heart to your parents, making yourself more submissive to them. Father, soften my heart to receive the instruction of my parents, that I could carry it out, that I could show them that I love them. Because the same way in which you show your Heavenly Father that you love them and love Him is the same way you show your parents. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. And it's the same way with your parents as well. So pray for a heart that would desire to keep the commandments of your parents, that would desire to keep the instruction of your parents. And also another way in which you can obey and honor and will be good for you is that to receive their instruction in a non-critical manner. We sort of touched on this earlier, but receive their instruction in a non-critical way. Do not immediately think that they're trying to make your life miserable. Like I said, we touched on this before. Do not immediately think that they are trying to restrict your fun, that that's their main goal in your life. But honor your parents and obey your parents by whenever they give you instruction or whenever they tell you no, not to immediately think, oh, they're just ruining my life, they're ruining my night, they're ruining my day. But think, okay, they love me. They have my best interest in mind. There is a good reason why they want me to do this or they don't want me to do that. And so I will obey. Father, help me to do so. Because I tell you, if you begin and constantly think of your parents' commands as being restricting in your life and ruining your life, it won't be long before you start viewing the Word of God that way. Before you start reading God's commands and you begin to think, oh, this is just restriction on my life. I need to break free from this. I need to rebel against it. It's a slippery slope and you will fall down it. And so receive your parents' instruction uncritically and receive uncynically and submit yourselves to them. So those are just some ways you can obey. There are a whole lot more. Talk to your parents about ways in which you can obey. I'm sure they will give you some helpful ways to do so. Lastly, I want to talk about just briefly how parents can promote obedience. We already talked about prayer, and I really believe this is one of the greatest ways in which you can promote obedience in your child's life is to pray for them, but not just to pray for them, but pray with them. You need to pray that the Lord God would soften the heart of your child. It's a great work that needs to be done. We could try to make them conform. We could try to make them line up and do what we want them to do. And it could simply just be an outward exercise of obedience. But we don't want that only. We want our child's hearts to be shepherded. We want our child's hearts to be changed, to respond out of love, not just out of a respect or out of a fear, but out of love. And just like we want our hearts to respond out of love to God. And so pray for your children that their hearts would be obedient, that they would receive your instruction and they would respond out of love for you. And pray with them as well. Pray for them and pray with them as you bring them together at night and as you pray before bed or in better yet earlier in the day or the beginning of the day. Say, pray, God, help such and such obey today. That it would go well with them, that they would see the benefits of obedience and that the home would be full of peace and harmony. And I think they will see your love for them in that action of prayer. A second way in which you can promote obedience in the home is regarding the unity in your commands and expectations for your children. This kind of goes back to the idea of obeying parents, both. You have to be on the same page whenever you're instructing your children. And so if you keep it up when the husband says one thing and the wife says another thing, if you keep that up, then your children are going to continue doing what they need to do to move and manipulate in the home to get what they want. And so if you are asked a question from your children to go and do something, or if they want permission to do something, or you give them instruction to do something, I advise that you rather quickly consult with your spouse on what decision has been made. So that they can't get around you, but that you can be on the same page. Perhaps you might just think, oh, yeah, if that's fine, you can do that. But your husband or wife might have a good reason why he or she thinks that might not be a great idea. And so you need to be on the same page. You need to be united. That way they can have the united authority over them, and then they can obey their parents and not just one or the other. And the same with expectations for your children as well. And one more way in which you can promote obedience is simply to be consistent in what you require and ask of your children. If you ask one thing one day and ask a different thing another day, or don't stick to your guns on one particular matter, they're not going to know in what to obey. They're going to be confused about how they should obey or when they should obey. Your children need consistency in their lives and what your expectations are for them, and that'll help them in their obedience. And like I said, I'm hoping to talk about more of these things next time with fathers, not exasperating their children. A lot more of this will come up. But these are just a couple ways in which you can promote obedience in the home. But it's my heart that, children, you will obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, because this is a command with a promise. It will go well with you. Pray that you would do so. Parents, pray that your children would do so. Solely that Jesus Christ would be honored. So let's pray.